Blog Talk Radio.
It's not necessarily that. It's all about feeling good in your mind and in your heart and where you're at. It's not about the waist size. It's not about the scale number. It's about where you feel right inside.
Yeah, you've had ups and downs, but you've stuck with it, and you know, you never gave up, and that's what I just find so inspiring.
You say that I can be an inspiration. I think that, you know, one of the themes that we've been picking up tonight is, you know, what Team YRG can do for yourself and for others, and it's all about paying it forward. If I can help anybody, if I can help one person, if one person looks at what I did and thinks that is something that motivates them to do something, that motivates somebody else to do something, oh, good God, man, I can't explain how good that makes me feel.
It was just a complete moment of triumph, because at that particular time, I went farther than my original goal, and I was still feeling amazing. And the whole shot is emblematic of what you can do if you don't let your doubts mess you up.
Sparky, this is Mark Merrow. No, bro, you are really, and you guys are so inspirational. You know, Team YRG, everybody that is part of Team YRG has been so inspirational. Everybody, we all have a story. You know, God has a purpose for all our lives, and we use that. You know, it's like God has taken our mess and turned into our message. We take this message that we have, that we've taken control of our life. And you just said it, Sparky. It's taking control of your life. It's making that decision to take control of your life. And when you do, you actually put yourself in a place where you can inspire and help so many people.
If things weren't already interesting enough, I had a friend of mine call in. Ray Lloyd is actually on the line.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. Sugar Ray.
Brother Mark, what's up? And I just remember him saying, he said, there's not a lot of people in this world who are known as much for their failures as they are their successes. He said, I've missed a lot of jumps. And he said, but you know what? I kept getting back up. And that's become like my new theme is keep getting back up. Because we all get knocked down. We all do. And you just keep getting back up.
It's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and welcome to the YRG Radio Roundtable.
What's up, folks? It's Hump Day. Our first Wednesday night show, moving the show from Thursdays to Wednesdays to accommodate some schedules. I hope everybody's with us and nobody minds. And if you do, well, just come to Wednesdays and join us at 9 p.m. So if you didn't already know, you're listening to what we consider the best damn internet radio show for the best damn, no bullshit workout and support community on the planet, DDP Yoga and Team YRG. So I am here, Sparky, with Robert. Are you back in, bro?
You told me.
Okay. Robert is kind of back in. So you broke up a little bit, so I'll keep going here a little bit and jump in when you can. So we are here. We moved to Wednesday nights, and part of that is me. So hopefully you're joining us. I have some things going on Thursdays. Some to mention, if you didn't know, I am a hockey fan, and that a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, being from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of the Steelers and the Penguins. And then we have this baseball team that, you know, kind of did stuff in the middle of the summer, and then came back to reality, the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, Jay Campbell, our friend from Canada, is a fan, but he can make up for me kind of being lukewarm on the guy. So anyway, want to welcome to our folks in the chat room. Katie's there, and Steve's there. What's up, yo? And anybody listening in to us from the livestrong.com community or sparkpeople.com community, welcome. It's great to have you here. So, you know, just a shout out to you folks. It's always good to see people coming in. If you are interested in Spark People or are interested in other communities, we're live there in YRG Fitness Nuts. We have a group there. Check us out. We're basically talking about all things YRG. We're posting up, you know, interviews, or not interviews, previews for the radio shows that are coming up, and just trying to spread the word. We had a couple people jump on board in sparkpeople.com because they like the YRG workout, the DDP yoga workout, and for those of you who know it, how could you not love it? So it's a fantastic workout. We've had a pretty good week, coming off a pretty good summer of people joining us in Team YRG. So I want to give some shout out to Frank Kelsey and Alistair Price. You guys, welcome in. One's from Florida, and I think Alistair, you're from up in New York, so congrats. You guys can definitely reach your goals of sort of rehabbing your body, losing the weight, and getting back into shape with Team YRG. So I'd urge you to go ahead and hit those forums. And anybody who's thinking about joining us, if you're just listening tonight, if you're new to the program, check out Team YRG, start the workout, take your 6 picks, get a good step forward by taking a look at where you're at right now. 30 days, 60 days down the road, I can't say it enough, how awesome you're going to feel and how awesome it's going to be to look back at the pictures and not recognize who you were there. So very good stuff happening in the world of DDP Yoga and Team YRG, including some of the stuff that we introduced last week with our Challenge Center. So that was some pretty cool stuff, yeah? I don't know if you're still there, Robert, but feel free to hop in, bro. And anybody else, feel free to hop in. Give us a call, 347-994-1216. We're here to talk to you. We'd love to get you in the queue and hear your thoughts and help you out if we can. So, but the Challenge Center is up there, and our most active challenge right now looks to be the Energy Challenge, the Energy Streak Challenge. So Rez has jumped in, I'm in. We're trying to see how many days in a row we can do energy. I was going for 5 days, and I need to ramp it up and add some extra days there. So if you didn't hear us last week, and Rez, a longtime community member, thanks for hopping in there, buddy. The community created a new forum spot, and that's called the Challenge Center. You know, one of the core values and one of the core building blocks of Team YRG is having you focus on yourself and being able to enable yourself to achieve great things in your body and life transformation by setting goals and reaching them through the SMAC principles. So if you don't know the SMAC principles, pretty simple, make it specific, measurable, an achievable goal, compatible with yourself, and then keep it going because you don't want to fall down. So we kept these things in mind when we put together the Challenge Center, sort of a brainchild of Robert Stacy and myself, and now we're having some people jump on board and actually taking off in the challenges. We have a few things like this Crusoda challenge, cut out that all those sugars and energy drinks that you're drinking. Waterfall challenge, drink water. Water's sort of a lifeblood for you. It gives you something that you need. It's essential to keep you going, especially if you're working out and you're losing that water weight every day. You need to replenish it. You don't want to get dehydrated. And there's a few other ones there that we're looking to take off. But for you new people, I'm going to throw this one out there for you. We have the You're Ready, Go Challenge. And that means if you stopped in here, you stopped into Team YRG, you wanted something, you're probably asking yourself a question. And, you know, maybe you weren't sure of the question. You know, maybe it needed some focus, but I'm gonna pinpoint it for you, and it's the biggest question, one of the biggest motivating questions I ask myself that Dallas gave to us as a tool, and it's what do I really want? And you're looking for the answer, and you're looking for a transformation either in your body or in your life. So that means you're ready. Now you have to focus and go. So the You're Ready Go Challenge just gives you 5 basic things that you can set as guidelines when you first start. And that's taking your 6 picks, which when I look back at mine now, I can't believe the way I looked at it. I had a fantastic transformation for myself. You know, 50 pounds, and then if I look at my appearance, just the way I was feeling then, the way I'm feeling now with all the pause that I have and all the energy that I have and the way I feel, I think you can see it coming out in the pictures. I cleaned up my image a little bit along with, you know, cleaning up the weight and my eating. And, man, the changes are unbelievable, and they'll be unbelievable in you, too. Read the new members guide. Robert put a great guide up there for everybody who's stopping into Team YIG, and it is loaded with great stuff. How to take the pictures and measurements, looking at the heart monitor and what it's used for, and one of the best things that you get for being a member of Team YIG is getting to see Dallas's presentation and talk of living life at 90%. It's an amazing speech. It's an amazing, motivating talk that he gives you. And the link and the password to that is in the new member guide, so you need to pick that up. Also, is the Your Ready to Go challenge. Make an introduction. Let us know who you are, because Team YRG is here for us and for you and for everybody to help motivate people, to help keep you going, excuse me, and help keep us going. It feels great helping people. It feels great because it helps yourself. It helps me to take the additional steps forward and to keep going. And last, listen to us. Listen to some DDP radio. You never know what you're going to get. Hopefully every week you get a little bit from myself, Robert, and Stacy, and hopefully we can give you a little piece of information, inspiration, or motivation to go on and take into your daily life. Maybe you'll call in, maybe you'll have somebody else call in, and you'll be able to take something away from them, or maybe the man DDP himself stops and tells you a little bit about what he's doing. So, and if he doesn't stop, you guys can check him out a bunch of different places. So there's a lot going on with DDP, especially him putting together DDP Yoga, which is taking YRG to the next level, and you've heard us talk about it. So the guy that's closest to it and closest to us with it is Robert. So maybe you want to fill him in if you're hanging in with us.
You know what? I'm sitting here working on a pack for you. So I've been listening diligently. I couldn't even get a guess at what it is you just asked me.
Hey, that's fantastic. And that's a man with focus. And YRG brings that focus. So I was just talking a little bit about bringing DDP back into the mix, where he's been, what he's been doing. And I just kind of put down a DDP yoga and said, you're the man that's closest to it. So, you know, I can
so many
talk about it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Basically, within the next week, I guess it'd be about a week and a half now, we plan to have the site relaunched to begin selling YRG, or what it's going to be called now, DDP Yoga again. We're going to have a brand new site. Myself and Steve Yu are working really hard on it. Dallas is going crazy. There's so much stuff going on around DDP Yoga. It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, there's a lot that I can't talk about because, you know, number one, Dallas would kill me, and, you know, I think I'd love to talk about things before they happen anyway, but,
Yeah. That's the season, right? We know something's awesome is coming. But just hang in there. It's going to be here. We'll get a little preview next week.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that the way that we're looking at it right now is, you know, YRG is pretty big now. But compared to, like, a P90X or, like, a Tybo back in the day, it's more of a niche product. It's not a lot of people about it. Within the next 6 months, we plan to get bigger than P90X. We want to be the big dog. And I think pretty much anybody who does YRG who's familiar with it will agree that it's the right product to do that. I mean, because it is an absolutely phenomenal workout.
Oh, it is. And if you said, you broke up a little bit, if you said this is the thing that can be bigger than P90X.
Absolutely.
I could, Absolutely, it will be bigger than P90X. I mean, YRG is huge, and I know people. I tell a story from like last summer when I talked to people about who have done P90X, and it's funny because, you know, P90X, I don't know if it exudes or people drip off like extra machismo or whatever you want to call it. It's like these guys come walk into P90X, you know, it's like, and these guys are talking. I went up to a training center where I work. And I went into the bathroom, which is also sort of a gym change room because the gym's right across the hall from the training center. And these two dudes are talking about how P90X is great. They're talking about how good it is because they can feel the pain. Like, it was almost a trophy that they're almost bringing themselves to the point of injury because the program was so tough on them and their body types. So I'm sure there's people who are ready for it. I'm not saying that it's that program's out there to injure you. I mean, but these guys are pushing themselves and talking about personally for themselves about how it's bringing them to this point. And I just thought it was funny because it ended with, and I'm glad I got out of there quick. I kind of heard them. They're like, have you seen these ads? And the guy turns the other guy, have you seen these ads? And I hear shirts switch up and then the skin flashes. I needed to get out of there. Now, Sparky's all about the love. So, you know, if I was at the YRG retreat, which hopefully I'm going to make one here that's coming up in the future, there would have been a lot of Sparky hugs going around, especially if the tequila was fun. But that, I don't know. That's not my thing. I love YRG, but, hey, you know, I love what it does for me, and I love giving a little hug and sharing a lot, but that's just a little too much for me. And actually, it's a little too much for me that, you know, that workout pushed them to the point where they felt, and they were talking about how good it was to feel the pain. YRG, you feel muscles that you haven't used for a while, but it's so low impact. I mean, people are, and Dallas has used it. You've seen him, he's used it to rehab his knee and rehab other parts of his body. Other people are rehabbing parts of their body using this workout because it's such a low impact workout. It is going to be the big thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about P90X is that, number one, I mean, it's a great, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from it. Well, basically, it's a great marketing campaign, you know, for what it is. But, you know, it's going to beat up your body. And that's, I have friends who've tried it, and they, you know, they do have the same result that those guys did, is that they feel horrible the next day. And that's, you have, there's a small percentage of people, of exercise people, I guess, that want to do better shape. There's a small percentage that are going to keep at that kind of workout. Mm-hmm. Large majority of them are going to feel like hell the next, never want to do it again.
Absolutely, yeah. And with YRG, that's why we can talk about the Energy Streak Challenge, because you can get in there. If you've got 20 minutes, you can do 20 minutes. You don't feel like you have to have tons of building blocks that you have to squeeze in and kind of fit this rigid routine that, you know, the P90Xs and everything else give you. Like you said, they're great. There's nothing to take away from them. If you can do them, more power to you. If you can do them and then stick with them and stick with that rigidity. With YRG and DDP yoga, you can throw that in. You can be any level. You can take it to any level you want. At any place you take it, whether it's, you know, 50% of what you can do, 100% of what you can do, 110% of what you can do, 5 days a week, 3 days a week, 2 days a week, twice a day. And you can do it and not feel any of that. And, like, you're going to feel great. I feel great when I do it. But, you know, the DDPO is a thing to keep an eye on. And I know I'm going to be excited when it comes out and seeing some things and hearing some things about it. You guys aren't going to want to miss it. So keep in touch. Listen to us on GDP Radio because, you know, GDP does pop in and he does give us updates. And this is something I know he's very excited about. And, you know, when it gets here, he's going to be excited to tell us. But I know he'll be here and be talking to us and talking to you a little bit about it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We have this great testimonial that's coming that's going to be launched on the new website. Is actually probably the best testimonial that I've ever seen, and it's done by Chris Jericho. And
yes, yes.
I'll just leave that as the teaser. I'm not going to tell you what it's all about, but it's if Chris Jericho in this testimonial can't convince you, then nobody's going to.
I tell you what, that's fantastic. I used to love me some Lion Tamer back in the day. Chris Jericho I think tactically and technically, he was one of the cleanest, most professional guys that I have ever watched. And, you know, I just loved him. The Y2J, that you know, right around that time when he was sort of the comeuppance, when he was, like, riding the wave. And there was nothing better than watching me some Chris Jericho. And, you know, I will confess, my wife occasionally watches Dancing with the Stars, and a little bit of Chris Jericho on Dancing with the Stars got me to watch. So I was pulling for him. I was pulling for you, Chris. So, you know, hey, now that you're behind DDP Yoga, what can I say? That's phenomenal, man. You the man.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Since we're going off on a Chris Jericho tangent anyway, that reminds me of one of my favorite Chris Kanyon stories. The night after, I think it was WrestleMania 24, I think, where Ric Flair retired. The number's not important. It's just Chris was in town for that show because, you know, the biggest Ric Flair mark ever. So the next day, he comes over and he spends the night at my place. And so we're all watching Monday Night Raw. And if you want a wrestling education, watch Wrestling with a Wrestler.
Oh, man.
That night we're watching it, I believe it was Chris Jericho and CM Punk. But after every 5 or 10 seconds, Chris goes, "Hey, did you see that? Did you see that?" And, you know, he was pausing it, and he was showing us all the little tricks on how the wrestlers communicate and everything. And the things that he said about Jericho is that he hates to call the match ahead of time. I mean, sure, they want to know what the big spots are and who's going to come out on top, but he wants to create the match inside the ring. So watching...
That's amazing.
And you could really see, I mean, if you... There was this one part where he threw us against the ropes, and he comes back, and Jericho hits him in the abdomen with his leg, which is a move I've seen 10,000 times. But Chris said, "Did you see that?" Of course, he didn't see that, but if you back it up and slow it down, you can just see Jericho tap his thigh. And so that's the signal of what the move's going to be. So watching it like that was just, it was just amazing. It was one of my favorite, you know, not exactly Jericho, but it was by far one of my favorite wrestling stories.
That's amazing, because with that, like, I don't think you realize, and I think it's hard unless you're ever in the ring, close to guys, you see that kind of stuff, how physically demanding it is, but along with that, how fast your body's going, but how much faster your mind has to be and how cerebral it has to be for you to be able to, you know, think about what you're doing, communicate it, get your body there, and also control it so the other guy's safe when you're executing the move.
Absolutely. I mean, DDP, that's a perfect example. I mean, his last wrestling injury was in the ring against Bob Holly. Mm-hmm. And the reason that injury happened is because he had put him for a superplex off the rope. And one of the guys, I can't remember the story well enough, but one of the guys was out of position. So Dallas moved his body to protect Bob Holly and ended up screwing up his back doing so. And we're talking about a guy who, what, he was in for 10 years, 10, 15 years at that point.
Yeah, that's amazing. You get a little bit of that. I don't know if you're a fan of Tough Enough. I was really big when that was early on in the inception, when it was on that what used to be a video network, MTV, and I actually saw, I was really into it when John Morrison won it, the year he won it. But you see a little bit of that, and you see what those guys put themselves through, you know, when they're going through the training. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the you have to be in scene.
Oh, we just lost you pretty bad. If you can repeat that.
I was typing. Apparently, that's bad. Just the shape they have to be in is just absolutely insane.
Yeah, man. Some of the stuff that they pull off is pretty crazy. But for the man nowadays, if you want to catch some people, wow, we got a lot of people going on in the chat room now that I check it out. You know, a lot of the stuff we do here is because we love to do it, and I should say that, you know, sort of DDP is our sponsor and gives us sort of the freedom to be able to talk about this kind of stuff and talk about YRG. And, well, if you want to catch up with him, you know, check out all we've been talking about with DDP Yoga, DDP Radio, and you can follow him on Twitter at RealDDP. Check out DDPBang.com. And some of the stuff coming up, if you want to catch him live and in person, he's doing awesome wrestling entertainment October 15th in Fisherville, Virginia at the Augusta Expo. So, awesome night of the legends. So, you know, and you know the man is going to be the most awesome entertainer who's going to be there that night. So, check him out there. Everything else. Go ahead.
Did you see the press release on that event?
I didn't hear you, bro.
Did you see the press release on that event?
Oh, no, I did not.
It's going to be huge, man. I mean, everybody's going to be there.
Let me load it up here and let's see what's going on. I'll try to bring up the... Wow, I instantly got a picture here of Kevin Nash. And
yes.
Looks like he's going to be there. And they announced the card for Night of the Legends. It does look like the Rock and Roll Express.
Yep.
Terry Funk. Tommy Dreamer. Wow. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Tommy Dreamer versus Terry Funk.
That is going to be insane.
That's all you got to say.
Not to say that that's going to be a dream match, but, geez, those two, that's going to be a slobber knocker in the true sense of the word.
Absolutely.
I think those guys could take each other to the ends of the earth and back. And, man, I hope it's not an I quit match because I don't think either of them would.
They'll need to extend the paper by about 2 hours.
Yeah. and I tell you what, it'd probably be one of the most exciting things that you've ever seen for 2 hours, even though it's just two guys slugging it out because, man, even though I've missed it, a lot of it recently, I used to watch Raw religiously, and I haven't done so in such a long time, and I used to go to all the events that came through Pittsburgh, and the last one I went to, it was actually Batista was still in the mix, and I can remember he was the headliner, and the amount of talk that was going on, the amount of preview in the show was just such a drag. Yeah, there was a point where he entered the ring, they played his music, he came down the ramp, you know, and, you know, he had a pretty intimidating entrance. Then he pulled a folding chair out, put it in the center of the ring, and sat there for 15 minutes. We sat in darkness while they played some videos, had some commercials, had some commentary, and then finally he wrestled for, like, you know, maybe 8 minutes, and it was over. But it was like, wow, such a drag. I'd rather watch those two guys like straight it off for 2 hours.
Oh, absolutely. Do you remember, I mean, we're really going off on a tangent now, but do you remember when, I think it may have been a pay-per-view, AEW, I don't know, but it was on ECW. It was Terry Funk versus Ric Flair.
No, I did not see that. So fill me in.
Oh. You know, Ric Flair is not a hardcore wrestler. I mean, that's, he's a technical guy, he's an entertainer, but he's not hardcore.
Right.
Not, he kept pace with Funk the entire night, and he just let it all out there. If you ever have a chance to YouTube that match or whatever, check it out. It's definitely worth watching.
I have to do that because, man, Flair was heart and soul in every match, and, you know, I think Funk was the same. He does the same thing now. You talk about it like, sometimes when you talk about him, you talk about, like, what he used to do. He's still doing that today. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's got to be in his late 60s, hasn't he?
What's that?
He's got to be in his late 60s by now.
Still missed it, but if you're saying he's got to be out of legs, yeah.
Dude. No, he's going to be old. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy is getting up there, but man, the guy is still pushing it. But yeah, one thing I'm sorry I missed, I just caught, you know, I started taping, and one of the reasons that I started getting back into Raw recently, or wanted to get back into Raw, had it all loaded up on the DVR. I've got about 6 episodes I got to catch up on. I started watching this week's last night, only to see that, you know, the COO, Triple H, fired one of his best buddies, Kevin Nash. And I had heard Nash was back, and now that Nash is not on it, I got to see what happened, because Nash was one of my favorite. Hall and Nash, just watched those guys and forming the NWO and what was WCW before, you know, whatever happened to WCW happened. That was one of the best times in wrestling to me that I have ever seen.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jay said that Funk is 67 years old.
Wow. That's amazing to be able to get up and do that at 67. I've been slinging yards and yards of bark mulch around my property here the past 3 days, and I had to take a break because I felt like my body was about to fall apart. Now, he's doing that a couple nights at 67. He's doing more than lifting a shovel and throwing mulch. He's throwing his body all over the place and still doing it. That's amazing.
He's shoveling mulch.
What's that?
He's getting hit with shovel and mulch.
Absolutely. Man, he's taking the abuse. But, you know, and that's the thing, to tie it back to YRG, if you want to take some abuse and you want to move around, like, Terry Funk's probably a freak of nature from what he's doing right now. But if you want to at least walk around when you're getting in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, give YRG a shot, because, man, I think that is going to keep you good for a long time. When I started voice, I felt like I could have been 15 to 20 years older than I was, and now I feel at least 5 years younger than I actually am. So I had at least a 25, 30-year swing in what my body age was and what my body can do. And in doing so, I've been looking for some stuff to sort of help me along the way. And I found a couple great products that are sort of worth mentioning if anybody's looking for stuff to help them out. I use a Manduka mat. I don't know if anybody else has one, but actually I should call it the Manduga. Because courtesy of Doug Steffen, I got myself a Manduka that was sort of my graduation from DDP Yoga and YRG when I finally met Doug, for sticking with it for a year and as long as I had, because that was something that meant a lot to Doug, and it means a lot to me that he sort of passed it off. But I found this product from Rubber Flooring Inc. There's some, I got these foam foam tiles. They're like 2x2 tiles, and they were only like, you know, I say only, but to get a 6x6 square, it was about $50 and sent out to me. Pretty cool. If you're working on like a hard floor, you need a gym surface. These things work out pretty awesome. Now, I am working out on these things on a laminate floor, so there's a little bit of give in them, a little bit of slide. Just kind of got to secure them, but they're worth looking into. They actually make a rubberized version, which is kind of the same material the Manduka is made out of,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a little bit better for it. But anybody who's looking for something to put a little mat down to get a little bit better than a regular thin yoga mat, if you don't want to go up to the Manduka, which is like $70 or $80, you can get a couple of these tiles and make yourself a 4x6 or a 6x6 mat, which is 2 to 3 times bigger than a regular yoga mat, gives you about the same stuff for a cheaper price. So I got them from rubberflooringinc.com. So that's a place to start.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. The reason I like it is because if I use I can use my Manduka, which is a great mat. But if I use this underneath it, then my back is totally safe. I got a couple spots on my back where it feels like if I'm rocking back and forth, and if I'm going into cannonball and doing some of those rocking moves and whatnot, really bothers my spine. But Manduka makes it feel good. This makes it feel like super cushion, like I'm rolling around on a cloud, so to speak, compared to what I was doing before. So that, and one other thing I wanted to mention, if you haven't seen Motown's post about his update, did you get a chance to check that out?
No, I didn't say what he had.
He posted maybe 2 weeks ago. John Motown Lucas has been with us, I want to say it's probably 6 months to a year, and actually might be longer, but he's been doing deep yoga with, I believe, his wife's in it as well, and he's a former Marine, so pretty tough guy going through doing this. He has been incorporating a power tower, if you know what that is. Have you ever seen one of those?
It rings a bell, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, it's like this contraption of metal that allows you to do dips, pull-ups. Some of them have push-up handles on the bottom. Plus, it's got like arm bars that you can keep your body stationary while doing some ab work, bringing your legs and your lower abs up, doing some vertical crunches.
Okay, then yeah, I have seen.
Yeah, yeah, and it's awesome. I never thought about it before, but Motown said, he's like, it's low impact. You're not lifting weights. You're using your body, which you are, and you get some extra stuff in. He's been incorporating that with his DDP yoga workout. My goodness, the guy is freaking diesel. I mean, he looks like he could walk into the ring. So,
I definitely have to check that out then.
No, yeah, he's just ripped up, but it's pretty cool. I was thinking about getting one. I looked at Amazon, and I can get anywhere between like $100 to like $140 and get a pretty good one. $140, I can get one made by Weider. It seems pretty good. I think it'd be a good addition to any workout. If you want like zero impact, you want to build up some muscles, but you don't want to throw the weights around or deal with, you know, some of that jarring impact that weightlifting gives you. It's a great alternative. Take it a little bit easier on your body and get a little bit more, you know, dynamic resistance and resistance from your body, some weight in there when you're working out.
Nice. Because, I mean, I think I told you before that I was kind of taking a break from I wouldn't say exercise, but I was kind of a YRG break with moving and with everything going on. I'm going to get back in next week, and I really wanted to start pushing it like I used to and really back to the condition I was 2 years ago. So that's definitely something I need to check out.
Yeah, that's something I want to do too. One of the things that I've always liked to see myself is sort of build up my shoulders and my arms, and I think, you know, doing some of the dips, doing the pull-ups across my back and whatnot, I think that would kind of focus on it. So
yeah,
well, there's a lot of... But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I think you can add, and it's interesting because it's not weights, and I think it fits in pretty well. So, man, a lot of talk on some wrestling stuff going on in the chat room right now, because we have some of the biggest wrestling fans, I think, from Team YRG in there with Jay and Katie and Steve just chatting it up.
Yes, I mean, hello. I'm now me. I'm all down for a wrestling conversation.
Yeah, so, hey, if you guys want to call and talk YRG, or you want to call and talk a little wrestling, yeah, you certainly can do that at 347-994-1216. Definitely, I think there's a faction of us who can get in there, and I'm certainly not as old as many of you, so I like to learn from you guys. But please, hop on in, chat with us, give us a call. I know the reason I got to YRG and DDP Yoga is from a wrestling connection through looking at something like P90X. I remember one night I'd been surfing the web, and actually been for a while. Was discontented with how I looked, where I was, and how I felt, and hopped on the web and looked at P90X and said, screw this. For the price it was and what you had to do, and I knew I wouldn't be able to hook up with it, and it wouldn't jive with me. It wasn't compatible with my lifestyle. I was like, I'm going to do some internet surfing, and one of the places I always end up is WWE.com. And come across, where are they now? And DDP was in there. There's YRG, and take a few short leaps from there, and I'm here almost a year and a half later. So
yeah, the same thing brought in Kev and Arthur started because he wasn't a wrestling fan, but he knew who Dad was. So it happened a lot.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of a cool shock factor to people. When people ask me, they're like, I've had a couple people now ask me since it's been a year. I think people start to get very impressed. They're impressed when anybody loses weight. You got to be impressed when somebody invests enough time with themselves, in themselves, to take care of themselves for a while. But when you do it and you keep it off, people start to notice. And I've had some people ask about it. And when I do, one of the things that I'll start to talk about a little bit about how this is like yoga, but it's not yoga. And, you know, it's the DDP brand of yoga, and I'll be like, are you a wrestling fan? And that's one of the great icebreakers. They'll be like, yeah, I watched a little bit. And, you know, you find out that some of these guys were old-school wrestling fans, and you throw out Diamond Dallas Page out there, and, you know, the original People's Champ, you know, carries a lot of weight with a lot of people. So, you know, it's a great icebreaker when you start to talk about YRG, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, the it depends on who I'm talking to, if I drop a DDP bomb or not. Because if they're clearly not wrestling fans, I just sell it as the best workout plan I've ever done. If they are wrestling, you know, then that name. But a lot of people have bad things, just have a bad mindset about wrestling. So it all depends on who I'm talking to.
Yeah, it's luckily, I haven't had too many people who had a bad stigma about, you know, wrestling and things like that. Of course, I'm from, you know, being from Western Pennsylvania and being so close to Pittsburgh, and a lot of, you know, they do have a lot of productions that come through here, and you can get WWE used to come through here a ton. Now, it's rare that they come back with a live show. Some, lots of times it's a house show. But it's pretty well accepted, man. And, man, they really fill out in an arena, even on a house show, when they come through. So people are talking in the chat room right now. If you're not there, you can check out blogtalkradio.com/YRG Radio. A little bit about some wrestling movies. Somebody that you mentioned, Ready to Rumble, which I barely remember, but the one that sticks with me just because of how the graphics are bad word, but it showed like a reality of wrestling, I think, is The Wrestler.
Yeah. Oh, God, phenomenal movie.
That was fantastic. And seeing some of the guys that were in it, seeing some of the backstage stuff, and just, you know, the life story of the Ram, that was unbelievable.
That could be the life story of Jake Roberts, of so many of the guys. It really could.
I mean, it's a fast, it's a I mean, what you learn from that and what I've heard from soccer people, there's, you know, a lot of people look at the guys who are headliners and think, this is all glamorous, I can do this tomorrow. And hearing people talk about it and how hard you have to work and where you've had to drive, like when you hear Dallas talk about it, he's like, okay, are you going to drive, you know, 250, 500 miles, whatever you're going to do to get $25 to go beat yourself up for a half hour and sleep in your car at night? So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you watch that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, bro.
I just changed direction because Arctic Shadow mentioned the 3-0 H. Did you match with, I think it was the same match where David Arquette won the world title?
Mm-hmm.
And Canyon took that huge bump off the second tier of that cage?
What's that?
When Kane took a huge bump off the second tier of the cage.
Okay.
Remember that?
No, man.
I think it was... Basically, it was like... I'm sure Crip Shadow remembers. It was a good 20, 25-foot drop. And what they did was they had... they extended the entryway, so basically he came off the second tier of that cage and back first into the entryway. And it's still one of the biggest bumps I've ever seen. But I asked Chris about that. Like, how did you survive that? And he said, now this is maybe just interesting to me, but I think if you're a wrestling fan, it's interesting. They had already, this was the second match, the second time they used the cage, so they thought, Chris thought that they needed to top themselves. So he brought in stunt guys, and 3 days before the pay-per-view, he brought in stunt guys to teach Canyon how to land. And he filled that entryway with cardboard boxes. And so he, you know, basically knew exactly what he was doing, and I asked him how he felt the next day, because it was just one of the things you got to see. It was just a ridiculous bump. He was a little sore the next day, but that's about it. Kind of goes back to what you were saying before about knowing what you're doing. Made damn sure that he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that's amazing watching some of those guys do some of that stuff. I mean, because you watch, I mean, in some of those things, like when you watch, like Mick Foley when he does some of that stuff. And I mean, he's flown off of things. He's landed on, you know, announcing tables and all kinds of other stuff. That just amazes me because now I know the announcing table, I mean, it's set up to come apart, but still, I mean, when you take a flying leap, either off the top ropes or you're coming off the stage on that, it looks like it hurts. I don't know that I'd be able to roll right off and even with a hurt just kind of slough it off like I'm going to walk back and act like everything's normal until I get to the back.
Yeah. I mean, Mick Foley has, like, an unreal pain tolerance to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. Like, and I don't know how many times he's done it, but, like, I can see in my head when, like, he's getting thrown into packs and he's getting up, and there's just, you know, packs hanging out of his back on his arm, stuff like that. I accidentally on my office desk once slammed my hand down on a tack, and I was like, ow, one tack in my hand. I mean, they're all through
them. I was having a conversation I'm getting distracted chat. I was having a conversation probably about 6 months ago with Gentle, who is the Sinister Minister. He was manager in TNA and WCW and ECW, and guy's been around the business forever. But a match in TNA where he was choke slammed into a pile of thumbtacks, and his back was already screwed up to begin with, but they go into the back and they remove the thumbtacks with pliers. And my question is, how bad does that hurt? He said, you know what, when you're in the ring, it doesn't hurt that bad. You've got your adrenaline going. you're thinking about the match, you're thinking about the spot, you're trying to respond the correct way, but it doesn't really hurt that much. But when you're in the back and they're pulling thumbtacks out of your back with pliers for half an hour, he said it tends to sting a little bit.
I can imagine, man. Yes, because like you said, man, if you're running through the ring, your adrenaline's pumping. Almost like with anything, when you get that shot of adrenaline, you're running around. That's like an instantaneous thing. Yeah, you might be falling on, a couple hundred tacks at once. Then you go somewhere where they're pulling one by one out of your back. It's almost like torture.
Yeah, and something I never considered what happened to him, sometimes, I mean, these are just regular thumbtacks. Sometimes the handles break. So think about that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. You used the Sandman carried around the barbed wire bat.
Mm-hmm.
And take shots and stuff like it. Like some of those guys and some of the hardcore guys and some of the stuff they did was just insane. Just to think like where your mind has to be to say, okay, I can do this. I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna get the best show that I can to these people, and then not care where it's gonna be, where your body's gonna be after it. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know what? Who was talking about here? Somebody was talking about the brilliance of Vince Russo.
Even though that was text, that was a very tongue-in-cheek comment. So everybody clear.
one of the things that I think about when you watch it, and if anybody wants to watch some of the stuff with WCW, the video. In the videos, now you can get them both on Netflix. It's like the very best of WCW is up there. And there's one other one that's up there about WCW, the Rise and Fall of WCW. The very best of WCW, Command DDP, is on, and the Rise and Fall of WCW is really cool. But they tie a little bit of that in, so you got to check it out if you get that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the important thing to note about the best Metro is that most of it is pre-Russo, so I think that's a big point.
Well, I comment on that, to have the best, I think it would have to be.
Absolutely, oh my God. Well, actually, you've got to give credit where credit is due, because Russo has been is the only guy that has screwed up every wrestling company, the big three. He screwed them all up. I mean, not many people can say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how people kept bringing him back in, and just, I don't know. And I never realized at the time when I watched it, when I got some of the Rise and Fall of WCW, and you get into that. Now, and then I was watching Rise and Fall of WCW, and then I watched some outtakes, some promos from TNA that Bischoff had did. And, I never realized how much Bischoff was involved and had some ideas and had some things that actually worked pretty well for the WCW. But it was funny because I used to, before I knew some of the things that he was doing, I used to love to hate Eric Bischoff. And he ran a promo for TNA, and it still might be out there. And he's in the promo, and I'm going to paraphrase. He says, you know how hard it is? He's like, I get paid a ton of money for going out every night and making people love to hate me. He's like, you know how hard that is to do? So, I mean, you got to give the guy credit for that. But
I am not in any shape, way, shape, or form of Chop fan, because on a personal level, I think the guy's a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to smooth that over or anything, but I'll tell you some stories off the air, but on a business sense, nobody has ever go and beat Vince McMahon at his own game before. And that, you got to give that to him. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from what I know, from what I've learned, and some of the stuff that I saw, I mean, he was coming pretty close in some of the stuff he was doing until, you know, they brought that the other element into WCW, and kind of it all came back down. So, which is too bad, because that company came from a long way to where it was, and now, you know, because I look at the product that was, and it was so entertaining. And Monday nights were my Nitro nights, and then, you know, it maybe swinging the Raw. And the thing is, remember when that was like 3 hours?
Oh yeah.
They could put an entertaining show on that kept me locked in for 3 hours, and now I record Raw, watch it in the rare case that I have some time, and I'm fast forwarding half of it. As soon as somebody talks, if it's more than, you know, a minute or two, I can't stand some of the promos and the ring takes that they do now, because it's like they're out there for 5 minutes, and it's like after 20 seconds, I get the point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like in, once again, the Vince Russo era of WCW, there was a time in WCW where every match you had a run-in, and it just, you know, it's like all the talking in the WWE. I don't tune in to hear the talking. I mean, there has to be a certain amount of talking to further the storyline.
Yes.
That's all there is. There's a problem.
No, absolutely. I want a little bit of storyline. I want you guys to pull that in. I want you to do, you know, some run-ins. I want you to do some dust-offs, whatever you need to do. But when they get in and they do, like, those monologues in the middle of the ring where it's like, okay, let's start throwing some bodies in the air, some bodies off the ropes. Let's start seeing some action now. It's like, please make it happen. But it just goes back. I haven't been back since that last WWE Raw event that I saw. And that was 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. Playboy Flav was a special guest host. And actually they had Meatloaf there. And it was like, it was in a nonstop promo for almost like of commercials for people not even in the wrestling business all coming in to make a specialized promo. There was very little wrestling and a lot of talking. So I haven't been back.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
And something a lot of people don't know is that Meatloaf was supposed to be the host that night, but they couldn't get him up the ramp. So.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It's been pretty interesting to me since. But, you know, I haven't been into it as much as I have, and I'm probably not holding my weight in the talk. But that's cool. That's what everybody else is here for. So, you know, hate
man,
me for
great,
my, you can hate me for my knowledge that's still in its infancy with wrestling, but. There's a lot of me that was a huge fan back in the day, and still am when it's good. So,
there's a lot that I know about wrestling, but there's also a lot I don't know about wrestling. So, you know, we've got plenty of people here to fill in the gaps.
Absolutely, and you know, one of the things that you keep talking about with Christian, and when you bring him up, I think it's worth mentioning too. Like, you know, especially with that big bump and everything with him, I think. You know, one thing about him, and I don't know as far as his popularity and getting him over, but, like, the stuff that he did to get people over and how good he was as a wrestler, I think sometimes people don't necessarily recognize that. But, man, that guy, you know, you talk about technically sound people, and he seemed to be one of them. When you hear people talk about how he was, I think they say the same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I asked... There was this. Do you remember when Chris Kanyon was on Howard Stern?
No, I'm not a Stern fan.
My, but I'm a Kanyon fan. So,
Kanyon fan, yes.
Yes. Well, he was on there, and he had talked about how he had been fired for being gay, and the next The next day, he had John Cena on to promote one of his horrible movies. And they asked him straight up, why was Chris Kanan fired? Was he fired for being gay or, you know, something to that effect? And Cena said, no, he wasn't fired because he was gay. He was fired because he just wasn't any good.
Okay, there's a guy right there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I understand where he's coming from. He's got to protect his company. He's got to protect his job. But there's a lot of things he could have said there. He could have just said, no, he's out of line. Or, no, there's no truth to that. But he had to dig. And, you know, that really, really pissed me off. That he
actually, that's, you know, I joke around and occasionally when Katie put maybe something up on about Cena, I'll give her a little rub about that. But actually just hearing that now, I mean, I've kind of been on the fence on and off about Cena and where he is because some of the stuff he does with the troops and where he's at, I've never been like a super huge fan, but that actually kind of upsets me the way that, because you could do a couple, like you said, you could say anything, just be like, hey, you know what, guy's a fantastic wrestler, it's just something that happened, you know, and you know, he's no longer the company.
Absolutely. And there was another wrestler that I asked, you know, I don't want to talk to Chris about it too much, you know, because he was bothered by it, but he didn't let on about it, so we didn't really talk about it much. But I asked another wrestler, I said, you know, he asked him if he heard, he said no, so I explained what happened. He was like, are you kidding me? John Cena couldn't lace Chris's boots.
Yeah. So. Well, there's like somebody saying, exactly, I think Steve's agreeing with us. And the funny thing is, from what I understand about how, you know, some of the things that go on, and not necessarily knowing the background, but it sounds like, you know, like you said, Cena being a cut, he could have said other things, but at the same time, man, he's gotta make sure he keeps his paycheck and he keeps his career, and maybe that's how, you know, the company does business. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing I always keep in mind whenever I hear a wrestling story or whenever something comes out, I always remember that a couple different things. Number one, was there.
Yep.
I don't know what conversation he had before he did the show. He had been told that's what he had to say. But still, even with that said, I think it didn't show a whole class of part.
Yep. No, yeah, there could have been a little bit more class there with that. I mean, what was told. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting, the dynamic. You never know exactly what's going on. I mean, you hear the type of things and you see the rumors and the wrestling blogs and stuff like that. But, hey, whatever. As long as when I flip it on, if I start to be entertained, I'll have personal opinions of the guys and always respect their talent. You know,
and I'm gonna up like crazy, but so that's just me. I'm ready to do it again.
Which broke up a little bit.
I'm just getting ready to name drop again. Several years ago, I met Jake Ross, and it was before he's doing a little indie show. But he and I was trying to put together this business arrangement, but. Arrangement between him and myself, and we got talking about wrestling, of course, you know. I said, you know, and what I started to say, what I always say is, like, I know a lot about wrestling, but compared to like a Dallas Page or a Jake the Snake Roberts, I don't know anything. I started to say that, and Jake cuts me off and says, listen, until you step in the ring, you don't know shit.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel. Like I said, you know, people might say about my knowledge or how I talk. I mean, at some point, it's hearsay. At some point, it's opinion. You know, like opinions. Everybody's got one. Opinions and assholes are all the same. And
absolutely.
You know, and but. Most of all, I'll always be a fan, and I'll still get enjoyment out of watching the match on TV. And at the best of it, I'll still be, you know, the little kid who was, you know, watching TV in my dad's room or downstairs and being a little Hulkamaniac and, you know, watching Hulk Hogan in the red and yellow tearing the shirt off, or watching Randy Savage and all the Kellers, or, you know, Warrior coming down and, you know, streaming all the 4S and Kellers and the face paint, and, you know, George Animal Steel tearing apart a muscle and, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, when it all comes down to that, you kind of got to, at some point, I got to take myself back to that place and call myself a fan in that respect, more so than necessarily anybody here really taking my opinion to me.
Yeah, absolutely, because as much as you think you know about what's going on, you're never going to be right. You're never going to be 100% aligned, because there are so many parts to that recipe of any storyline of anything going on. It's impossible to even guess at what's really going on. And that's, you know, and I think what you said is exactly where you want to go, is it's suspend the disbelief and go back and just take it for what it is. It's entertainment. You know, a friend of mine had something to the effect of, you know wrestling's fake, it's preterm, whatever, and why do you get entertainment out of it? And I said, you know, I said something to the effect of, have you seen Harry Potter? Do you like it? The thing is that they're all stunt people. They're all actors. They're all playing a part. It's wrestling for the big screen. It's exactly what it is. It's just a different form of entertainment.
Absolutely. It's entertainment. And there's something I've always respected about the physical ability of these guys to go out and do that. And, you know, they're beating their bodies to death. And even more so than watching, you know, certain sports on TV and whatnot, because if you go back and watch, you know, when they brought certain professional people into the ring, and, you know, well, DDP had Karl Malone, and then, you know, Rodman was in, and then and when it started to go down, you know, even Jay Leno tried a couple spots, but, you know, he wasn't even a professional athlete, but, man, they just can't hang.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, for guys like Rodman and Malone, it's a different form of training, a different form of physicality. And, of course, there's years of training that Dallas had beforehand. But for them, for the guys at that level to be able to hang, it's a lot about the shape that you have to be in.
Absolutely. Like, you're talking about somebody who's going, even, well, some of the football players stand themselves up against the wall, but I look at it like, you know, even with those guys when they were in the basketball, I mean, they're big, they're strong, they're tough guys, but they're almost like a gazelle when, you know, these wrestlers are like iron tanks being blasted out of a cannon. You can't compare the two. So.
I think a lot of that has to do with not only their lack of training, but also their training when it comes to basketball and how they position themselves. And it's just a different angle.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, when I watch, one of the things that I enjoy is that, you know, like I mentioned, Tough Enough, and watching those guys come through from sort of where a lot of those guys start, and seeing their uncomfortableness and their unease and some of the stiffness, to where the guys who get it when they start, you know, picking up the right positions, picking the right moves, and starting to make it look more fluid, like it's natural. Like you said, there's physicality to it, but it's all an act, it's all entertainment, and to make it look like it's real, because it is real, your body's taking it. Your body has to take a huge punishment. I don't want to say like your body is, because I would never know. But, to actually be able to do that, I mean, the amount of training and the amount of prep that goes into that, it's got to be unbelievable.
Absolutely, and a great way to look at it, I did an interview with Glacier probably a year ago, and we were talking about different types of drugs in wrestling. And he had said, you know, when's the last time you fell down? I mean, really fell down. And most adults don't. You know, the last thing you probably did was when you were a kid. He said, as wrestlers, imagine falling down 15, 20 times a night. And that's pretty much the closest he could equate it to, is these guys, I'm completely going off on a tangent, but these guys will, there's a couple different aspects to it. Number one, if you're out in the crowd and you're doing your thing, your adrenaline is crazy high, and it's going to stay that way for a few hours. Number two, so you've got, you know, that's why these guys drink, is to calm, bring themselves down. And, of course, they have the pain, you know, and they're in pain pretty much every single day. So that's why a lot of them get hooked on painkillers. And I went so far down the tangent, I can't remember exactly what the original point was. But
you're talking about falling down, but I get that, man. Like, you know, I fall down today, my gravity, you know, is going to pull me down if I trip from about, you know, I don't know, 2 to 3 feet if I'm going to hit my knees, or all the way down if I'm going to my head, like 6'2". But, you know, you kind of prep yourself and you hit it. But when you're talking about, like, a power bomb or a drop kick, when they're taking a bump or you're dropping off the top rope, you're hitting some velocity with the full weight of your body most time without any type of preparation or softening your landing until your whole body hits flat. That's amazing, just to be slamming yourself like that.
You know, and when I was a kid, I you know, myself, there's got to be a way that these guys are faking it. And so I always thought that the rings were padded, that, you know, I had all these tricks in my mind, but those rings are basically plywood. They're plywood with a sheet over it, and that's what they're knocking themselves into.
That's amazing. I always had like a small, and I think any little boy who watched wrestling always had like a small dream that I always wanted to be a championship wrestler. Just even to be in that ring, that'd be awesome. Like, if I ever win tons and tons of money, I'm gonna put a ring somewhere, like Austin Grant on Tough Enough. Kind of look that. I'll get up and I'll run across it every once in a while. You know, I think maybe just running the ropes would be enough abuse for me. I wouldn't even want to like land on the mat.
No, I mean, I've fallen off a trampoline before. I don't need a 300-pound guy behind that. You know, that's enough for me.
Absolutely. And we had a couple other people join in just to give a shout out. Anita was in here. You know, she helps out with the Team YRG on Twitter. Anybody who wanted to call, we're pushing over our hour a little bit, but it's good stuff. 347-994-1216. If you wanted to follow us on Twitter, Team YRG, follow DDP, Real DDP. Check out all his other stuff at ddpbang.com. He's got his videos, his appearances, and everything else up there. So that's pretty cool. Jay saying he would love to run the ropes too. You know, maybe we could have a run the ropes challenge. See if anybody can get to like a small, you know, a small event beforehand, and see if anybody will let them get in the ring and run the ropes. That'd be pretty cool. I can imagine. Like, what's that?
That's an intricate challenge, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting YRG challenge. And then take the pictures, you know, a couple hours afterwards. I would imagine you'd have to be bruised from, like, your armpit to your hip.
Yeah, and make sure you get a picture of security carrying you off.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they try to streak the field at a sporting event, but I think I'm going to make my new thing. Well, I won't streak the ring, but you know, maybe run the ropes. Okay, either Katie's gonna streak the ring, or she's gonna run the ropes. So
actually, no, she's gonna do both.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool stuff. But lots of wrestling talk. I was gonna throw some stuff up about certifications and stuff, and talk about a DDP Yoda certification that I've been working on for a year and a half, and a new certification that I'm looking for with personal training. But we'll throw those into next week. Talk about some researches yet, and maybe throw some more conversation on that later. But Jay's talking about Tough Enough, and guys had big bruises on running the ropes, and I have to say those ropes bite, man, because that's like, you know, rubberized that, well, steel.
It's steel cables, yeah.
Steel cables wrapped, you know, dipped in rubber or whatever they put on top of them. They really don't want to give. They pull those things pretty tight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they do. I mean, because you see, I may be wrong, but from what I understand, the same type of ropes that they have in boxing. Now, boxing, you lean against them and they'll give.
Yeah.
Wrestling, they're tight. And you think about it, if, to go back to Jericho, he can spring off of the bottom because it's so tight.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I keep going back to the stuff, but some of the challenges and stuff that they had in there is they had them actually get up the top rope, and some of the guys were sort of straddling either side or walking out. When they're walking, that thing's like given. You can't if you're going to do that kind of stuff.
He's going to run the ropes. What's that? I think he's going to run the ropes.
I think she should. And you take some footage of that, and then, you know, send it in. We'll put that up on YRG. We'll put that in the Challenge Center. And, you know, Steve, I wanted to give you a shout out. We're going to put the two challenges that you sent me. We'll get those up on there. I haven't ignored them, but just haven't had a chance to get in there and get them up yet. We have he sent me a breathe challenge to talk about breathing, and one other challenge that I got to get up there. So, good stuff. Anybody who wants to send us some stuff, please do send me a private message or get in the Challenge Center and get in the public section and throw up a challenge up there for us. So, anything else? And I think I'm getting tapped out here.
I was going to say the same thing. I think I've completely used up all my adrenaline. It's nap time.
Yeah, dude. But good, man. It's good to get that kind of talk out here, man. Sometimes it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we're based off of one of the biggest wrestlers in all time. We need to talk about wrestling more.
Absolutely. It makes me want to study now. A lot of times, and this is just me, I consider myself generally a pretty simple guy, and maybe I come across that way, and that's fine.
Yeah, you do.
Super. But it's like, you know, and that's cool with me, because I think hopefully that helps to keep me a little bit laid back, so I don't get too stressed out about all the crap that's going on around and getting too involved in it. But, you know, I'll have to start looking at some stuff and go back and watch, like, you know, the Rise and Fall of WCW, the Very Best of Nitro and stuff like that, because that's some cool stuff to catch up on and go watch that old stuff. It's really entertaining, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, with me wanting to look at the certifications and whatnot, man. Now I feel like this is almost like a job I got to study for. Especially if you're talking wrestling, man. It takes a while to keep up.
Yeah, well, you know, I can sit there and talk wrestling all day. And you know what? And I'll get on the phone with Dallas, and I never... This is the secret that I learned. When you talk wrestling with wrestlers, you don't make statements, you ask questions.
Yes. Yeah, that's like, generally, if I'm trying to talk to anybody about, well, even with wrestling, you know, and anything else where somebody else is the expertise and I'm kind of like, you know, the expert in it and I'm just kind of like the dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have a lot of trouble if you're making statements and somebody's like, because somebody will call bullshit on whatever you say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I tend to ask questions going, what did you think? Yeah, I thought that too, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I've never come out and been a complete mark on Dallas, but I can say one of the things, you know, I used to have like two or three DDP T-shirts. You know, I'll always say that, you know, Nitro was my jam. I like Hall and Nash, NWO, you know, so DDP, of course. And he was definitely one of my faves. And you know, I always say, like, the original People's Champ, because, you know, there is that other guy, The Rock, who was pretty good. But I always consider DDP to be the original. Yes, the other who. So that's kind of the way I look at it. But, you know, I've never really come out and done that. I just, you know, it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do. So anyway, so with that, after everybody kind of listens to Robert school me a little bit about wrestling, you know, straight off back and forth, having the conversation, I hope everybody enjoyed the tangent we had in the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Savage. So that's the best I can do.
Yeah, you should probably not do that again.
Yeah, yeah, not very good with anything but my own voice, and even at that, that's questionable. I hate hearing myself, but yeah, the t-shirts from the 80s in WWE were pretty wacky, Jay, but I've got the best DDP t-shirt with the diamond cutter on the front, and it says Cell 5-5 on the back. Found a dude, not to go off on another tangent, but found a guy on eBay. It was my favorite DDP t-shirt. Found a guy on eBay who had it still in the plastic wrapping that it was pressed off and put in and sealed up in. Was actually going to take it and wear it to my first workout in the retreat. Hadn't washed it or done anything with it. Put it in my suitcase. And then when I couldn't go, I just pulled it out and did my first workout non-retreat in it. But
Very nice.
It had hot pinks and blues and all kinds of crazy stuff all over the shirts. Now they're getting more designer and stuff, which is pretty crazy. But anyway, so I think that's it. I'm ready to kick it. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us and listening. Like I said, Robert, to school us all about wrestling, and hopefully everybody enjoyed the talk and, you know, a little difference and a little variety in the show. A little flavor is always a good thing. So, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Those were for Robert.
That was totally for you.
Absolutely, because everybody loves a little sparky in their life. So.
And that's what they get, a little.
That's right. That's all you can take. You better start running if there's any more. So. All right, guys. With that, you know, remember, permanent change doesn't come from temporary choices. Kick the 10% in the ass this week, and always live life at 90%.
And be, stand up and be.